So you've paid an attorney to write your company's agreements. They look great, they're worded perfectly, and you use them in every customer transaction. But then one of your customers violates your agreement, and you try to enforce it, only to find out you can't. But why? Why can't you enforce your expensive, bulletproof agreement? The answer, in a word, is implementation. And if it's done incorrectly, then it's a killer of MSPs. If you want to know how to correctly implement your agreements, well, listen up. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Technology Bradcast. I'm Brad Gross, attorney to MSPs nationwide, the Sultan of Technology Service Contracts, and I'm here to protect your company. I'm glad you joined us because we're going to talk about implementation, and it's a crucial issue for MSPs, and it's something that many MSPs do very poorly. And the problem with that is that those MSPs don't realize they have poor implementation until something bad happens, like a customer violates an agreement, and then the customer tells that MSP that the MSP can't enforce the agreement, and the MSP is left holding the bag with all kinds of fees and costs. So, we're going to talk about implementation, and we're going to make sure you are doing it correctly. Are you excited for that? You should be, because it could mean the difference between having a great contract that you can enforce and having a great contract that you can't. Before I jump into the topic, I'm going to remind all Bradcast listeners that in a few weeks, I'll be announcing the launch of a platform that will change the way you store, manage, access, and implement your customer-facing agreements. It will be engineered for MSPs, powered by my experience in the industry, which spans 22 years and covers thousands, over 7,000 MSPs. So, updates will be sent out soon, and if you want to find out more about that, go to mspterms.com and sign up to receive updates. It's free, it's exciting stuff, and I'm looking forward to telling you all about it. mspterms.com, it's coming soon. Now, back to our topic, implementation. Implementation is far and away the top reason why bad things happen to people with good contracts. You can have the greatest contract in the world, but if it's implemented incorrectly, it's garbage, worthless, unenforceable. I'll give you the most obvious example of bad implementation. Let's say you have a contract with one of your customers for your long-term business deal. Let's say it's a 3-year RMM BDR security stack, you know the works. And the contract clearly defines each party's roles and responsibilities. It has milestones. It accommodates workflow issues. It limits your liability to within acceptable levels. It's a great document. So you send it to your client for review. But before your client signs it, you start working. In fact, you continue working as if the contract had been signed, but it wasn't. So now halfway through your project, the customer says, "We're done." Bolstered by the strength of your magnificent contract, you say, "Well, you know what? We can terminate now, but the agreement says you have to pay out the balance of the project." Your client says, What contract? What agreement? Well, now what? Now you call your lawyer, who starts billing at $500 or more an hour, and this is how the conversation goes. The lawyer is going to ask you something like, why didn't they sign the contract? And you're going to respond, "I don't know. I think I may have jumped the gun, right? Maybe they did sign it, but I can't find the signed copy." So your lawyer will ask you, "Did they ever acknowledge receiving the contract?" And you're going to respond, "Well, I think so. Maybe they did. I can't find any emails on that, but they did accept the service." Your lawyer will then say, "Well, you know, they may have accepted the service based on the proposal you sent them or the conversations you had with them before you sent the agreement. That's very different than signing the agreement. So we're going to have to argue breach of contract, quantum merit, equitable estoppel, specific performance, and they'll counter with an affirmative defense probably of unclean hands, indefiniteness, mistake, and, you know, maybe they'll throw in the archaic defense of statute of frauds." After all that legal lingo, you ask, how much? And your lawyer will respond, we'll know more after some initial discovery and depositions. So send me a retainer for, let's say, $10,000. We'll apply that to the final bill in the matter. Oh, and by the way, that phone call that you just made to your attorney, that cost you about 30 minutes of his time, so you're already in the hole for a few $100. You see where I'm going, right? You might say, well, listen, that won't happen to me because I have every client sign off on my agreements, or my quotes, or my service tickets, right? Maybe. Or maybe not. A few years ago, I wrote a contract for a service company that provided managed security services. And it was a damn good agreement, if I must say so myself. It covered all of the important issues. Not just limitation of liability or limited warranties. That's easy. That's stuff any lawyer can write. No, this agreement included all kinds of things, like requiring the customer to undertake security-related due diligence within certain areas from time to time. And if it didn't, my client was relieved of liability. The agreement addressed issues like communication between the parties. It restricted the use of third-party services unless they were approved by my client. It required quarterly business meetings. It made sure the customer would be held to its side of the bargain for 3 years. It was a 3-year deal. Okay. So about 8 months into the deal, the customer calls my client and says, we're done. My client contacts me and says, hey, help us enforce this 3-year deal. We're only in month 8. We have, what, another 28 months to go. But there was a problem. And as I recite this story to you, think about how you're doing things. Think about whether you're doing the same things my client did. Okay, so the client calls me and says, help me enforce this agreement. I said, send the agreement over. Let me see the version they signed, the underlying quote, and all the relevant documents. A couple hours later, I get the documents. I immediately see the problem. First, the quote that the customer signed made no mention of the brilliant agreement I drafted. None. It wasn't there. Instead, the quote laid out the details of the deal, the costs, the solutions that would be implemented, and there was a signature block. The customer signed in that signature block, but again, there was no mention in that quote before the signature block that there was an agreement, a master services agreement, a damn good one at that, that covered the transaction. Attached to the end of the quote, the agreement appeared. It started off, by the way, that agreement starts off by saying, this agreement is between MSSP, I'm withholding the name, obviously, it's between MSSP and the customer who signs this agreement in the signature block below. Keep that in mind. This MSA had a signature block, and it starts off by saying it's enforceable, okay, between the MSSP and the customer who signed it. And when I scroll to the bottom, there was no signature. A signature block with no signatures. So think about this. The quote, which was signed above, made no mention of the fact that there was to be an agreement in place. And the agreement itself said it was enforceable only against the parties that signed it. And no one actually signed it. Great agreement, horrible implementation. So think about your situation. Does every customer sign something that says, hey, whatever we do, it's covered by our master services agreement? Do you require your master services agreement to be signed? I mean, if you do things correctly, it doesn't have to be signed. It could be accepted in other ways. But let's assume you do require a signature. Do you actually get the signature in place before starting work? Here are some principles that you should keep in mind when thinking about whether you have implemented your agreements properly. First, your customer must accept your agreement. I mean, it sounds simple, right? Well, you'd be shocked at how many MSPs forget to have their customers actually sign their agreements, actually accept them. If it's a document that has a signature block, make sure it's signed. If you post your terms, then make sure that the customer is told about those terms clearly and explicitly before, listen again, before accepting the quote that references your online terms. Make sure they know before they sign that quote that there's another document that governs the transaction, and you let them know where it is, clearly and unambiguously. Second, let's say your MSA is posted online and you want to change your agreement. Many agreements have a provision out there that say something like, we can change our agreement by posting those changes online, and it's your responsibility to check back periodically to ensure you know of the changes. Okay, if that's how you're implementing document changes, if that's your implementation process, then you're doing it wrong. Because those kinds of check back here and learn about the changes type provisions, they're unenforceable. If you want to make a change, you have to do it in a very specific way. And just assuming that you can make changes unilaterally is a big no-no. If you want to hear more on that point, by the way, I did a broadcast. It was an episode from last August. It's called Unilateral Changes to Your MSA Are Unenforceable. So that was sort of an implementation topic. I suggest you listen to it. Third, everything you do needs to be covered by your MSA. Everything. Think about this. You could be accused of doing something wrong, even if you're doing the simplest project. I call you up. I say, listen, I need you to install a network printer. You're not even going to charge me to do it. You come over, you hook up the printer, you attach it to the network. It triggers, obviously, the driver installation. That process triggers a cryptovirus. Who am I going to blame? Who am I going to blame in that scenario? Because I'm the customer. Who am I blaming? I'm blaming you. Now, you're going to say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. The cryptovirus might have been triggered in the future anyway. That's true. But it wasn't triggered in the future. It was triggered when you touched my system. Okay? Fix it. You're going to wish to hell you had an MSA protecting you. So, what about break fix? Are you providing break fix work without a signed quote that reinforces the fact that everything you do, even on demand or break fix work, is covered by your MSA? If you're doing that, wonderful. If you're not doing that, you have an implementation problem. Just like the simple printer installation example I gave you, if you do something wrong in a break fix scenario, you're going to wish you had the protection of your MSA. So make sure you issue quotes even for break fix situations. Now, what about hardware sales? If you're acting as a VAR, are you implementing your MSA? Are you doing it correctly by ensuring that your customer signs a sales quote or a purchase order for the hardware? And does that quote or purchase order specifically say that the sale is covered under your MSA? Remember, your MSA covers everything you do. And if you're not doing that, then you have an implementation problem. Look, we could go on and on with examples, but you get the point, right? If you have a great contract, make sure it's enforceable by shoring up your implementation process. If you have questions about that, you know what to do. Call 954-217-6225 or send an email to brad@bradleygross.com or go to mspterms.com and sign up to get the latest update on the platform that's launching soon that will help solve implementation problems. Whatever you do, just make sure that your agreement, the one you paid for, the one that governs your business, is implemented correctly. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next Technology Bradcast.